This is a Life School Podcast, episode number 149, and today we're going to talk about how to share your faith without being weird.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Welcome to the Life School Podcast, where each week you'll learn how to live with greater intentionality and an integrated faith in every area of life. This is the stuff that your parents, teachers, and pastors forgot to tell you. I'm Heath Hollinsby. I'm here with your host, Caesar Kalinowski.
Hey, Heath. What's going on, my friend?
Not much, man. Enjoying the...
Here we are. We're kind of cruising, a couple weeks into the new year or so? I don't know. Not too far. We are having a blast this year, enjoying... I probably have talked about this too many times, but our second grandson came right before Christmas. So Caesar cool. 5.
The legendary lineage of Kalinowski
That's
continues.
It, man. Team K, heir to the throne.
That's right.
All that. Yeah, it's awesome.
It's fun, man. You're a young grandfather, aren't you?
I'm 36. I know it's hard to believe that that could be.
We're so close in age. You've got so much wisdom.
Yeah, grandfather to say. No, it's awesome. I'm freaking loving it. And about done with winter already. I don't know.
Me too, man. I am so sick of being cold. And you were teasing me coming over. I drove over without shoes today just because I didn't feel like
I know.
Shoes
you're like Freddie
on.
Flintstone, bro. You show up with no shoes at all.
You know, I think
like caveman. I'm like, did you leave your shoes outside? Like, you're gonna be, and you took your socks off? And
I think it was growing your up on the beach, man. I think, you know, growing up on the beach, I kind of like no shoes.
I knew a guy when I first moved here. That was his jam. He wore sandals all year. That was them. Always wearing sandals. And I remember seeing him with shoes like... We were doing some ministry over in Czech Republic in winter, and he actually wore shoes. And I was like, yeah, you did.
Wow, the first time you saw him with shoes on, huh?
Yeah, so I don't know, man. Don't come over to my house super barefooted like that unless it's summer, okay? That's weird. Weird.
It is a little weird. Speaking of weird, yeah. Sharing your faith. I've met some weird faith sharers out there.
Gosh, see, sharing your faith, it's always one of two things or both. You feel like weirdo sharing your faith. You think... that someone thinks you're a weirdo for sharing your faith, or both. You're a weirdo, and they're picking up on that, you know? I think it's Jim Gaffigan. He's got a bit about, like, the last thing anybody wants to hear from you in a conversation is like, can I talk to you about Jesus? He said, you can go up to the Pope and say that. And he'd be like, hey, listen, weirdo.
What
like,
is
so easy.
I think the weirdest expression of faith sharing that I've experienced in my 34 years on Earth was on a 7-day Caribbean cruise, and there was some dude. He was a rogue... gospel witness guy that kept laying those $1 million bills everywhere that have Jesus's face on the front, and
like replacing the actual face of $1 million.
Yeah, I was like, instead of George Washington on a dollar, it was Jesus Christ on $1 million bill, and
like Romans wrote on the back or something.
Yeah, it was like, you know, money will never buy you happiness,
helpful.
But Jesus will. And
super happy.
You'd think by like day 4 or 5, like he would have run out of these things. I'm pretty certain he just had a suitcase full of them. And like, he'd wake up the next morning and they're at the breakfast table and they're in the bathroom and they're
super helpful.
That was my weird. Have you had any weird experiences?
Well, there's always, you know, we talk about the bullhorn guy. Yeah. You know what I mean? The guy's
God hate you.
People think that's fake. That's real, at least here in Pacific Northwest. There's a Tacoma guy, and I've run into several times. There's a guy down in Portland at the Saturday market. That literally screams, you know, through a bullhorn at people. And all you hear, I mean, it's just him screaming about something you don't even know. It's like, this kid's screaming, he's going to, you just hear like the only words that kind of poke out of the cloud of like horror is like, wrath of God, repent, you know, and you're just like, wow. So here's what I do. Like, I shouldn't be admitting this like over the airways here, but I like to go up to those kind of guys, and I've done it several times. My family, I was like, oh, Dad's doing it again. I always go up, and I act like I'm interested in what they're saying. And they're always stoked because they're not getting a lot of action. You know what I mean? They're not a lot of sales going, you know? And so I always go up, and I go like, how you doing? And they're like, yeah, and they're just stoked now, right?
Yeah.
And then I go, is that a gospel that you're proclaiming there? You know, drop a Christian word on. And they're like, well, yes, it is. And I go, so the gospel's called good news, right? And they're like, yes, it is. You know, what's your name? And then I always say to them, like, so like, where's the good news part? Because all I hear is screaming about fire and wrath and gays and
not much good news
foul stuff that, you know, you're hating right now. And all, you know, and like, where's the good news part? And then the guy gets it, like his face drops, and he gets it like I'm a ringer, you know, and he's like, oh, I actually had one guy say to me, Heath, he says, oh, I get it. You're one of those guys that thinks you should be friends with people first.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, you know, like Jesus, like friend.
Kind of a couple
sinners,
years of doing life together.
Yeah, I know. You might want to get to know somebody before you like scream at them about wrath that's coming. And
all right, so when we're talking about this concept of sharing your faith, Jesus seemed more keen to have our lives match up to this kingdom lifestyle rather than just going out and screaming words and preaching at people, right?
Yeah. I mean, yes and no. Jesus proclaimed like his Father all the time, okay? But we see like these preaching words in scriptures, and then therefore preaching and evangelism in general is something done in the form of a sermon or a rehearsed speech. But that's nearly not what Jesus did or modeled. And when we see in the epistles, Paul and others talking about preaching the word, then we have to take it in the context of what was going on then, because it's not, you know, it's not what we thought. So, for instance, Romans 10:14 says, how then, this is Apostle Paul talking, how then can they call on the one they've not believed in?
Okay.
And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Well, okay, so we hear like, so that's why you gotta be out there and you gotta be preaching. And I know I grew up in that just meant like, well, get a bullhorn, you know, go out, stand on the street, get a soapbox and all that stuff. Well, let's check it out. I don't normally try to, you know, in life school dive too deep into the Greek and Hebrew, but check it out, because this word in Greek is pronounced like caruso or something like that, almost like Robinson Crusoe, caruso. But the root word, the etymology of it's actually uncertain. It's not like a word that's used in a ton of other forms or any of that, but it did mean to sort of proclaim openly or to be someone who brings a message kind of thing, to herald something. And that wasn't something that the apostles made up and applied to the church. That was something that was really, it was understood in their lifestyle and their life living in, you know, under Roman rule and all that. Because for, you know, then a king would have someone whose job it was to go out and give his message. The king wouldn't go out in the square and tell everybody what they wanted, right? And so the person that did this was called the caruso. They would crux. They would proclaim, you know, the caruso. They were called the crux. That's what I meant to say. So they would go out and they're proclaiming the caruso. That's what they did. They were the crux. And so their job, the position of this crux was to kind of really, you know, the king would call him to his court and he would say, I have a message. And that was a privilege. It was a big deal. And then the king would summon the guy and he would come and he would carefully and accurately get the communication from the king, write it all down. And he would not only get like the message itself in technicality, but he also in tone and like what's the mood of the king and all that, and make sure that he was proclaiming that right, or carousoing that right. Preaching, that's where we get the word.
Sure.
So, you know, preaching that accurately, just proclaiming that accurately. But it wasn't like everybody did it, and it wasn't like that was, you know, like, okay, so now everybody would go around. So that's where it came from. So when you see Paul saying, so how will, it's more like, how will someone know who Christ is and what he's done if they don't hear it? And how will they hear it if no one goes out and lets them know what's going on, right? What the king is about.
Sure.
And that's really the tone of it. We got to understand that, because that word clearly, and maybe there's going to be some listeners that don't agree with me, but that word clearly is not, so get a pulpit and get a room full of people and set them down and that do that, or get a soapbox or get a bullhorn.
Sure.
And so, yes, we are called absolutely to proclaim this, right? And all through scripture it says that, but it's not, it's really a disservice when we hear the word preach.
Sure.
Because preach is not,
it's you shut up and listen to me tell you.
Yeah, exactly. So that's just, I mean, and I'm not anti-preaching. It's just that preaching, when we say preaching, is really, that's more of like, hey, a sermonizing, or, you know, like what a professor does and things like that. That is not the use of it in the New Testament when they're saying, hey, go out and let people know. Like,
proclaim, like when you go soul winning, you remember that?
Yeah,
like,
proclaim the good news. Yeah, so.
Yeah. I've had some soul winners at my door that went out, and that's their goal. Yeah, we're going out, we're preaching to the lost for three hours. They're like, yeah, I don't, who are you? And why do I need to believe you?
Well, there again, it's because it's just a wrong understanding of the text.
Sure.
You know? And a lot of that comes from like King James versions and all, and it's just, and then the mushing together of it, and then also just a lack of understanding of the gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, that the message that was meant to be good news of that Jesus is in fact now Lord of life, and you're not, and so you don't have to be anymore, and that's really good news. And the goal was never, like when Paul said go out and proclaim, it wasn't proclaim so they can get saved, it was proclaim so they can now live under his lordship.
Sure.
He's king. Hey, the king's here, and he's a good king.
Yeah.
So the whole thing was kind of we say back ass words, you know, yeah. Like from the get go when we use the word preach. So you preach and you proclaim, but that's not, so we're talking about how do you share your faith or how do you talk about this king or how do you proclaim good news to people without feeling weird about it? Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to understand that first. So don't feel bound by a misunderstanding of a pretty rare Greek word tied to a specific role. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, it's hard to imagine. So how would you suggest that we share our faith in maybe like a more natural, less weird and creepy sort of way?
Well, there's a lot of ways, okay? But I'm gonna drop some really easy stuff on us today. Cool. Like one of my favorite ways to do it. First, before I get into that though, let me do this, okay? Most people don't like sharing their faith because they feel like people are going to reject them or they don't know how to or whatever. But I had people say to me, I think my friends may be more open to actually what I, you know, think and learn about God, but I don't know how to articulate it to them. Okay, so that's why we're doing this episode. Or I rarely talk to my friends or coworkers about my faith because, you know, I don't want to feel like I'm cramming it down their throats. You ever heard that term?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, what does that mean, cramming it down? And it's so well-worn in the church. Like, we copywrote that term, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, or hitting them over the head with a Bible. Like, did that happen? That must have happened.
It had to have happened.
At some point in history, someone was preaching. You know, they were bullhorning somebody. They were jamming it down their throat. Like, they tore a page out. Or they took the whole book and smashed them over there. I mean,
it had to.
Because there's only two or three of those phrases. Like, well, when I was a kid, someone was jamming it down my throat. And I don't want, like, can we come up with a new metaphor? anyway, so getting into it, I want to say first, like, I suggest you don't start off a conversation about religion or Christianity or Jesus by beginning with what you don't believe in common with the other person.
Yeah, that never goes well.
You know? Yeah, don't look for, like, oh, Buddhist, huh? You know,
sure.
Oh, don't go. Oh, atheist, huh? You know, like. So now I'm just looking for the differences instead of the commonality,
yep.
Right? So don't do that. Don't dive into a debate with them. We've said it before on the show. Apologetics makes for really gnarly evangelism. Apologetics is the defense of the faith within the faith community. That's the purpose of it. It's beautiful. It's important. But apologetics is not evangelism.
Okay.
Rarely, if ever, in Scripture will you find it. Seriously, we've talked about that. I talk about that a lot, actually, in my book, Bigger Gospel.
Yeah.
Like, apologetics, not a good evangelism. So don't dive in debate with them, or don't go after some specific sin that you believed you've observed in their life.
Yeah.
You know, like, literally, I can remember being, like, schooled in this when I was a young guy, you know, growing up in the church. And it's like, here's how you'd talk to your neighbors who are living together, but they're not married. Here's how you go to your friend who you saw smoking a cigarette out back. You know what I mean? Like, and here's basically how you'd rip them up, scripture them up, shame them up, and then I don't know what. You know what I mean? Like, where do you leave them? You know? So I'm going to suggest lose the bummer. Like, don't start with what's wrong or differences.
Okay,
it's just not Jesus wasn't, it was, remember the gospel's good news?
Yeah.
So look for some good news. That's what I'm going to
suggest. It doesn't work that way in friendships or relationships or work environments. Like,
yeah, you know,
job
you're
interview.
At,
like,
you know,
what do you
you're
hate
at
most
the cafe,
about?
You're at a pub, and you're like, you know, I want to make some friends with that guy. So I'm going to go up, and I notice he's wearing, like, the opposing football team that I grew up liking. I'm just going to go up and rip that guy. The Packers are a-holes. Yeah. I hate the Packers.
Good,
like,
luck.
Not a good start.
Yeah.
Good luck with that, right? So we wouldn't do it, but we've been taught about that. So, here's what I like to do instead. I like to, and this is what I think is a cool way to share your faith without being a weirdo, is I love pointing out how someone is an example of the kingdom of God breaking in. Like, I'll notice something that they did that reminds me of what Jesus or God is truly like, and then I'll point it out.
It's cool.
It's like they flip out on it. Like, by the way, if you just, you can do this with a believer, and it's like, oh my God, that's the most humbling, best compliment I ever got, you know? But remember, we're all image bearers. So that stuff's in there, even if we're not restored yet in it, you know, like we're not believers. We're still created in the image of God. So God's kingdom and glory, like Paul said, like even the rocks cry out, like all of nature proclaims it. So clearly all his image bearers still do in some ways, right? So look for it and notice, like, and I'll tell you what, it's powerful for people. And it's a humble and a surprising form of evangelism, quote unquote, as you connect their life directly to God's plans and his purposes, right?
Yeah.
So let me give you a couple examples, okay? I once told a friend of mine who, businessman, entrepreneur, who's an atheist, but really smart guy, like really smart. I once told him that the knowledge and wisdom with which he conducted his business was incredible to me. And I told him, I believe that all wisdom comes from God. Now, I was in a relationship with this guy, but we were having lunch one day and I said, man, you are so smart with this stuff. He's like, oh, I just done it forever. And, you know, I said, you know what? I believe that all wisdom comes from God. And then I added, but I think you have God-given wisdom. And some of the stuff that you say, you know, that you do in business and the way you communicate with people, it reminds me of what God's like.
Wow.
It really does. Now, you'd have thought he was going to fall over.
Wow.
I mean, he like just melts. This is a pretty tough, like, man-made guy. He grew up like, in really bad parenting, and all, you know. And it changed our relationship forever. Like, now it wasn't weird to bring that stuff up because it was one of my first, like, really kind of moving towards him with spiritual things. But it was in a form of a compliment. And then he just like, well, I don't know. I've never, you know, I don't know. You know, and then he just, for the next 20 minutes, he never even took a breath. He just kept giving me wisdom.
Wow.
You know what
I mean?
That's cool. Right? Here's another example. I told a really close neighbor of ours once that the way that she had laid down her preferences in a particular situation to be a blessing to my daughter.
Right.
It's too long a story to get into, but she'd done this. And she's another, she had no faith. And we shared the gospel in many ways with them. They were real close family members. But she had laid down her preferences in a situation to bless my daughter. And I told her that it reminded me of the way that Jesus laid down his life and just kind of gave up his... You know, he embraced it, man, right? And she was like, I don't know. She, you know, was like all flushed a little bit and flattered. I'll have to think about it. She was kind of blown away, you know?
That's so
and,
cool.
You know, it was crazy, right? And so, you see, we've talked about this before, man. We've never looked into the face of another person who's not an image bearer of God. How, you know, broken someone is or addicted or violent or whatever, they were created in the image of God. And so why not start with that? And here's the other thing. Not only are we all created in the image of God.
Sure.
But guess what we have most in common, bro, with every other freaking human being out there? Our need for Christ.
Yep.
There's so little about us that's different. Like, hey, are you a sinner? I am. You need Jesus? Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Okay. Created in the image of God? Yeah. Is he still showing the world what he's like through aspects of your life? That's why you can go like, well, how come I know some Christians who are jerks and I know some atheists who are just the nicest people in the world?
Yeah.
They're image bearers and God is going to display his glory. And why not start by pointing that kind of stuff out in people's life?
I love that, man. You actually had a tweet a while back that said, you'll never look into the face of someone who's not an image bearer. I'm like, man, that is so cool. What a great starting point. Worst enemy in the world, image bearer.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And we don't want to acknowledge it, but see, not acknowledge that in others and having it as our starting point is really not acknowledging our own sinfulness and need as well. Because like I said, those are the two things we have most in common. We had nothing to do with being created in his image. And we've had everything to do with our need for a savior. And we all have the same need.
Yeah.
So why have we been trained that, quote, evangelism is proclaiming, preaching a fiery hellfire message that starts with sin and wrath instead of God and his goodness? And think about this. The most common of sermons and evangelism messages all start in Genesis 3.
Mm-hmm.
All have sinned. And fall short of the glory of God. That's Genesis 3 is when the fall happens.
Yep.
And we all jump to Revelation 20.
Yeah.
And judgment's coming. It's coming. Jesus is going to judge all everything. But we leave off Genesis 1 and 2, where God is good and glorious and gracious and perfect.
Yeah.
And he created humans in his image to be like him and fill the world with his glory and be fruitful, multiply, and go. And he walked with them in the cool of the day and he gave them and shared his authority and all that, right?
Yep.
And then we leave off Revelation 21 and 22, where God is coming back one day to restore all things and people and places and walk closely with man again. So our whole message...
the whole story changes when you cut off the bookends.
Yeah, we just go from Genesis 3 to Revelation 20. So our good news isn't like, hey, this is how you're created and God wants that for you. It's like, you suck and you're going to pay for it. And you know, like, that's not good news.
Yeah. So how do you think seeing somebody as an image bearer will change how evangelism is played out in our lives?
Well, like I said, it's the common ground, man. Yeah. It's the common ground aspect of it. We're all in need of a restored relationship with God due to our own choices and our pride. That's everybody. I mean, just try it. Just look at, think about someone right now that, you know, you're listening to this. Think about someone in your life, believer or not believer, that you don't like.
Yep.
It's not a sin to not like everybody. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But the reason we generally don't like someone is because it's a reflection of some part of us that we don't like.
Yep.
Right?
I mean, absolutely.
Generally, right? But think about it. Even if you think, well, like, oh, I don't know this person, but like, you know, it's a certain politician, maybe, you know, or it's a certain, you know, neighbor, or it's someone at work. I don't like that person, right? I don't like him. Okay. Image bearer?
Yep.
Creating God's image? Just exactly in need of grace in the way that you and I are?
Mm-hmm.
What if every morning you got up and said, you know what? I don't like that person. I'm going to pray for them that they'd experience the grace that I'm experiencing and that I need and that I don't deserve and they don't deserve either. But and God, we're creating the same image. And I wonder how God's created them to show his glory, but it's marred. Like, I'm going to look for that today.
Huh.
Instead of looking for what I don't like about the person, I'm going to look for what's kind of like God in them still. Like, what part of the kingdom do they display? Like generosity or patience or smart or wise or there's something. I'm telling you, you look for that instead of looking for the difference or the lack or whatever. So that common ground is a big thing. But even more importantly, back to the understanding of the crux, remember the spokesman or the herald, we are these living representatives of our king.
Hmm.
That's true. We are all cruxes, okay?
Yeah.
So and we're a representative of that king and his kingdom and this amazing good news that he is Lord of all, but as people now who stand at the same place of need and value. So we're all standing, you know, at the foot of the cross, so to speak, and we're not benevolently stooping down as Christians to, you know, our neighbor or to the culture to proclaim a confusing or harsh message of judgment from a high position. But like Jesus, we came proclaiming good news as a servant. Like, you want to know what my dad's like? Like, yeah, it's jacked up. You jacked it up. Here's what he's like. And he shoulders our sin.
Hmm.
He says, I'll take the weight of that. Bad choice? Horrible choice. Hurt others? Yeah. Let me go ahead and take that for you. Well, I mean, just start your day that way. Look at people that way. Start out looking. I remember a few years back, my house was only literally a 2-minute walk to where my office was and our offices were. And we had a gathering place and all this.
Sure.
And I would walk past the same people every day. And it was a bus stop on the corner right in between. And I can remember just doing my thing, walking past everybody because, you know, I got to get to the office, right? Because I'm a pastor. I'm important.
Yeah.
You know? I have ministry to do. And I remember God saying, you just walk past like dozens of image bearers and you didn't acknowledge any of them.
Hmm.
That's me. That's my image. Like,
wow.
Like,
it's hard to hear.
So would you at least just say hi and like, hello and like acknowledge them?
Hmm.
And so then I kind of resolved, like, I'm going to greet everybody as best I can. And I got into the habit of like trying to greet everybody. Hey, how's it going? You know.
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh, that's a question. And they have to give an answer. So I'd go like, you know, good day, or hey, good to see you, or like, hey, waiting for the bus, or you know, something. Just acknowledge them as humans, right? And then when I moved to New York for a couple of years, that was harder because there's a billion people and they're moving really, really fast. So I'm like, how did you
just try to hi.
Yeah.
As we're starting to land the plane for this episode, love to get to the big three, which is something we do every single week. It's the free download of the takeaways.
Big three.
That
we need like big three theme music that just kind of comes in at this part
of
the
show. With a big band.
Like, bow, bow, bop, bop, horn blast. Yeah. Big three.
Yeah, Brian Setzer, I know you're listening. Just create that and just email me the file. But the big three, you get it for free by going to 123lifeschool.com/episode149. Again, that's 123lifeschool.com/episode149. Caesar, what are the big three for this week?
Okay, you just gave me a great idea. Before I get into them, sorry, I know we're running, you know, long here. Any of our listeners creates a big three theme tag for us?
Yeah.
You know, like they do it on Fallon for all their segments, whatever. Anybody creates that, we will use it.
Oh, okay. That's good.
We'll give your name and we'll play it. And then after we get it, we'll, you know, not if it's vulgar or nasty, but we're not, no judgment on talent level. That won't matter.
Yeah.
We're going to be blessed by it. So anybody wants to create a big three tag, you know, like big three bang or whatever, we'll use it. We'll give you credit. Okay. Anyway, here's the big three for today. Okay. What to know, believe, and do. All right. So, again, everyone's created in the image of God.
Hmm.
Okay. No matter how broken or jacked up or you don't like them or whatever, God's image is never completely gone or marred. Because they didn't have anything to do with getting it, okay? Nor from you, by the way, okay?
Right.
So they have great value, and God is looking to restore their lives to the fullness of his glory, the way he originally created them to be. So just start out with that. Just start out. Don't miss that. Just tomorrow, as you're driving down the road, you look at a person next to you in the car, go, image bearer, wonder what they're going through.
Hmm.
I wonder, what do they need to believe about themselves and believe about God? Okay. Second, God's not keeping track of your, quote, evangelism points in your life. Regardless of how effective you think you are at evangelism or not, you are loved just the same amount by God.
Wow.
You no longer need to fear what he thinks of you in this area of your life and your witness. And you no longer need to be locked up by fear of what others will think of you as, you know, as you live out and share your life and the message of the gospel.
Hmm.
If you'll remember to, you know, lose the bummer. Like I said, don't start off conversations about religion and Christianity by beginning with what you don't believe in common, or, you know, don't dive into some debate or pointing out sin or,
sure.
you know, like, don't start there with people. You don't have to worry about what they're going to think when you bring truly good news. And that's why, you know, just dropping that little tip on, like, hey, point out something in them.
Yeah.
And then connect it to, like, that's what God's like.
That's
right.
So
and
easy.
So pointing out how they show what God's like in some area, it will be good news. You're just going to have to trust old Uncle Frank on that one. And it'll build a bridge to further conversations, because it's always like the saltiest thing ever. No one's sure. ever heard this before. So remember, we stand in need of grace exactly the same in same ways that everyone else does. And it's available to them. It's available to us because of Jesus. And that's really good news.
Man. Yeah. Thanks for those big three, Caesar. Again, you can get those by going to 123lifeschool.com/episode149. Again, that's 123lifeschool.com/episode149. You'll get them right away downloaded to you. We also want to invite you over to iTunes. If you're digging the show, would you just fill out a comment with giving us a couple stars review? Not only does it
not
help.
Two. I don't want two stars, yeah, two. Bro. I mean, you go to a restaurant with two stars.
I was hoping for five.
Yeah, okay.
Six.
Being honest.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Give us as many as you feel as we're worthy of. It not only helps us and encourages us, but also lets Apple know that, hey, we can market this to a different group of people that might not have heard the show before.
I want everybody to do it. We're asking, would you please, if you're enjoying the show, you're digging it, and you're getting value out of it, do that. And you know what else, too? Would you just stop right now and share this podcast with somebody that you know and love?
Yeah.
Like, I know it takes like a whole 20, 30 seconds of your life, but if you just cut and paste like a URL to the site or an episode and just go, hey, so-and-so, just listen to this. I think you'd dig it.
Yeah.
If you'd all do that, like if everybody did that right now, we'd double our audience next week. You know?
That's so cool.
And I know it's a hassle. It's going to take a whole 20 or 30 seconds out of your life, you know?
Yeah.
But I just want to ask, and would you do that for Heath and I?
It keeps us from having like ad-laden podcast.
Yeah, no, I'm really yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. We're not promoting, like we're not pushing stuff. And if you do that for us, we'd just love to keep keep it going out and blessing. So.
Hey, so next week we're going to talk with special guest Mr. Alan Hirsch, the Yoda. Of all things missional, probably
school you, I will. That was horrible. That was the worst. That was spot on. I just nailed that.
He's probably the coolest guy you'll ever meet. Yeah. Maybe the smartest, maybe the kindest. He's the trifecta of goodness. He's going to drop Jesus' secret sauce on us. From
gentle
scripture.
He is.
It's going to explain to us why the church is in such a nosedive and why we lack unity and the world often wants little to do with us. There's probably nobody better to talk about.
It's powerful. It really is.
Yeah. So Alan will be on that episode next week. We hope that you'll be there for that. And as always, I'd like to thank you for joining us today. We really enjoy putting these podcasts out. You can always get more information by visiting 123lifeschool.com/podcast.